Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Janine Sanchez. Janine is married to Juan. They've been married for 33 years and in ministry together that whole time. The last 18 years serving in Austin, Texas. Janine has 5 daughters and 6 grandchildren. She loves people, teaching, reading, and playing games. I asked Janine to join me to talk about expectations in ministry, both the ones we sense from others and the ones we place on ourselves. Janine shares how we can think about and navigate expectations in ministry, as well as how we can come to terms with knowing we will disappoint people. She gives us a great framework for helping us focus on God's intentions for us rather than the expectations of others. Here, friends, is my conversation with Janine Sanchez. Welcome, Janine, to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'd love for you to introduce yourself and your ministry context to our listeners.
Sure. So I'm Janine Sanchez. My husband, Juan, and I have been married for 33 years. The last 18 have been here in Austin. We have a great church. It's multi-ethnic, multi-generational. It's just a great congregation. We've been really blessed to be here. We've got 5 daughters. Youngest is 20. Oldest is 31. 6 grandkids. So it's a really fun phase of life.
Yeah. And I know at least one daughter, but I feel like maybe others are in ministry as well. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes. So our third daughter is at seminary with her husband. They're studying music. Okay. And so that's been great. I think that they will serve in the local church, but not vocationally. So that's exciting. And then I have another daughter who is dating someone who is in pursuing ministry.
Yeah.
So
that's
right. Alexandra, the oldest. How could I forget her?
I know. Like, she and her husband are planting very close to where I live in Georgetown, Texas.
Yes. That's been really exciting.
Yeah.
It's fun. Who would have thought? Because all of them were like, no, we're never going into ministry. I'm like, huh, okay. I've learned to be like, okay, we'll see what God does. Doesn't matter to me. Just love Jesus. That's what matters.
Yes. So, and what about your role in ministry? What are you passionate about in coming alongside Juan in your church?
Well, I'm involved in women's ministry. I've been doing that for a long, long time, even when we were in support staff roles. I was involved in women's ministry, just helping churches set up women's ministry, doing things like that. I have just recently stepped back from leading that ministry, which was such an answer to prayer, to support someone else to lead that.
That's great.
I'm still on the team. I do music. I meet with women, discipleship, just everything that we would ask for a good church member to do.
Yeah. I love that. Yes.
Serve in areas of giftedness. And so those are things that really excite me. Just people. Uh-huh. I'm an extrovert. Juan's an introvert. So I'm like, what are we doing tonight? Can we go spend time with people? So
did your daughter who's into music get it from you or Juan?
Both of us. Actually, we met at the University of Florida. We were music majors there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that Juan was a musician.
Yes, trombone player. Yeah, he's quite, he hasn't done it in a while, but he was quite the musician.
Does he ever jump in with the worship team at church?
Well, you know, there's really not a great call and need for trombones. maybe if you played the drums. So, and he sings like Neil Diamond, and typically we also don't use Neil Diamond in leading worship. So he stays in his lane. He preaches.
He preaches. That's amazing. Okay. Well, when I've gotten to chat with you before, you told me that you are really passionate about helping younger ministry wives, specifically in the area of expectations. And when you said that, I was like, oh my goodness, we have got to get you on the podcast, because I think that is one of the most difficult things that we navigate as pastors' wives. And so I'd love just to hear from you as you're talking to younger ministry wives, what are they specifically dealing with in this area of expectations?
Well, I get to meet with our staff wives. I'm going to call them staff wives because some of them are more support staff. Their husbands are not pastors, but are pursuing that pastoral ministry. And so I meet with them once a month and just walk them through life as a good believer, as a good Christian, and as a good church member. That's really important. But there are pressures that we're feeling as women that every woman feels, right? Because we've got social media. This leads to like perfectionism. What do other people think about us? You know, I need to be all things to all people. And so it's not necessarily a unique struggle to pastors' wives. We're just taking it from a context, putting it into another context, and this like glass bubble that we put ourselves in. Nobody puts us there. We put ourselves, you know, in that glass bubble. But, you know, things like people criticizing your husband, right? That is deeply personal. How do they handle that? And I think that there are a few jobs where that personal criticism affects all areas of your life, from your friend group, because our husbands bring the job home.
Yeah.
I mean, in our house, we talk about it, we pray about it, we live it. So I think that it's not as unique as we think it is. It just has a different job title, I think, with social media, right? Thinking about what other people care about us. So I really, my goal is to help these staff wives and ministry wives see themselves in a proper context. And that, I think, starts with what does the church expect of a healthy church member.
I love that you keep talking about that, about yourself and what you're telling them, because that's been key for me as well. So can you go into that a little bit more when you say, I want you to think about what it means to be a good church member? Why is that the context you want them to think about that? And what do you mean by that?
So we take church members seriously at High Point, and in that whole process, we let these people, men and women, know what we expect of them to be good church members. What does Scripture encourage us to be as far as good church members? And so that's what I tell our staff wives. So first of all, as a staff wife, you are a wife, right? And God calls you to be a faithful wife, that role. Right. And so women in the church who are married, God calls you to be a faithful wife. If you have kids and you are blessed in that, then God calls you to be a faithful parent. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, we get to God calls you to be a faithful church member. So for High Point, we ask that our church members gather when appropriate. We have a Sunday morning gathering. We have a Sunday evening gathering, probably one of the few churches in the United States. every other week, we have Sunday night prayer meetings. And then we have life groups, small groups. We have different equipping classes. So that's important for all church members to know, that we expect and encourage them to gather when the church gathers. You know, back in the day with the older generation, we didn't have to tell pastors' wives that it's really important that you gather, whether your husband is the lead pastor or whether your husband is support staff. It's important that you're there. not only for your own edification, but your husband needs you there. Mm-hmm. He needs that to know that you are there. So gather when the church gathers. We expect our church members to be generous in their giving. And that's just not their money. That's their time. So we expect our church members to find an area that they're gifted in that they can serve. And then lastly, when we have members meetings every other month, we recite our church covenant. And at first I thought, golly, this is really long. I've got to sit here and say this whole thing. But when you pay attention to what you're covenanting with one another, it means something. Yeah. I covenant to gather with you all. Uh-huh. I covenant to serve you. I covenant to help you meet whatever needs you have. I covenant to not gossip and slander. I covenant to pursue unity. Those things are important. And we say that together as a congregation. Wow. So those are just some of the basics that we ask from our church members. And we expect of our staff wives, our pastor's wives, but also to be faithful Christians.
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, not just to my kids or my friends at church, but the church body, the women, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Now that's not perfect,
right?
It's not a straight line. It's messy, but it's living life in community. And that's just really, really important.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about being a good church member.
Yeah. And I think what we do, at least what I did when I was a young ministry wife, is I started with, as I thought about engaging the church, I started with what I thought was expected of me as a pastor's wife. And I remember kind of wrestling with that and my husband saying, no, I want you to think about exactly what you just said. I want you to think about what does it mean to be a faithful Christian and church member? Right. And that really helped me reorient. But I think a lot of times as pastor's wives, we enter thinking more about what's expected of me as a pastor's wife, or this role that I feel like I have to fill, and I don't know if I quite can fill it. And so I would love for you to speak to that. I want to talk about internal expectations, and I also want to talk about external. So let's start with the internal, kind of what I just said, where we come in thinking this is maybe we create our own expectations
right.
of what we should do. So what kind of advice or wisdom do you give to ministry wives who are struggling with that internal expectation?
Well, I think you need to sit down and have a conversation with your husband, right? Because you guys are a team. He knows you better than anybody else knows you. He's able to say hard things to you when you need to hear those things. And we need to make that a win. I remember probably 10 years ago, I had a whiteboard and I just wrote down, here are all the areas that I'm serving, every single last one. And Juan came home and I said, hey, babe, see the board? This is a little overwhelming to me. And I need you to let me know, what can I take off this board? And so we decided that together. Now, it happened to be a season that his answer wasn't what I wanted it to be, you know? And that's okay. I needed to make it a win for him and not to fight or be discontent, because then the next time I ask him for help, he's going to be like, you know what? That totally wasn't worth it.
Right.
You know? So I think asking your husband, first of all, mm-hmm. I think too, that we need to be willing to be stretched in areas of expectations, because it's really easy for us to say, you know, this is my area of giftedness. And so, you know, I'm not really gifted to do 2-year-olds in the nursery.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's a like handy little catchphrase, meaning, you know, I just really don't want to do that. So we need to be willing as a good church member to say, how can I be stretched in ways that are kind of healthy for me?
Yeah.
And then do heart surgery. We have to discern our hearts, and that's really hard. Like, why do I not want to? Okay, I'm going to use one for me. Cooking, I cook. I love to feed groups of people in my home because, you know, I'm extroverted. So that's a great social activity. Yeah. I don't love taking food to people. I just don't like doing it. And so it would be really easy for me to think, okay, so yeah, we're a fairly large church. There are other people that can do that, because that's just not my area of giftedness. When, if I do the heart surgery, I know I just don't want to do it. I'm just being selfish. Whereas I understand the joy when someone brings us a meal. Our youngest daughter had surgery this last week, and just asked people to pray, and they're like, can we bring you a meal? And I'm like, you know what? No, we're okay. And I stopped and I thought, wait a second, this is a way for the church to serve us. And a couple people brought us meals, and that was just such a great, great picture for me of people being selfless, whether it was Grubhub or they brought, you know, Good Luck Grill takeout or something like that. It was just serving and making people feel loved, and it changed my attitude. And so, you know, I think we have to be willing to discern our own heart and think, why do I, these internal expectations of my serving, why do I not want to do that? What's really going on in my heart, right?
Yeah.
I think, especially probably for church planners' wives, I've never been a church planner's wife. I have friends that are doing revitalization. We're involved in Pillar Network through the convention. And so I get that exposure to other church planners' wives. Also think there's a dangerous component of having that Messiah complex, yes, that Savior complex of, okay, not only do, and it's a season, we'll talk about seasons too. Not only do I need to support my husband, and there are going to be times when you have to do things you don't want to do, you don't feel equipped to do. That's the whole stretching part of that. But sometimes we may be tempted to think I'm the best one to do it or the only one to do it.
Yeah.
And so we find like, oh, that's a tricky counseling case. Of course I need to meet with her and I need to meet with them. And we need to do marital counseling with this couple. And I have to mentor all these women and have people in my home 3 nights a week. And we have to really do the hard work of assessing our hearts.
Yeah.
Why? Why do I feel I have to do that? Mm-hmm. And I can't allow a void for someone else to come in and do it. They may not do it as well as I do it. That's okay. That's okay. We all have to learn. So just assessing your heart. Are you doing this because you have a Messiah complex?
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I like what I'm hearing from you, if I could summarize, is to be very prayerful and intentional with your decisions, and not just saying a yes or no, but the motivation behind the yes or no, and kind of going over that with your husband, the person who knows you the best. And I think that's really good advice. I'd love to also talk about the external expectations, because sometimes we can feel very settled about what we feel the Lord is calling us to do. And we are being prayerful and intentional, but sometimes well-meaning people come up to us and say, hey, I really would like for you to be a part of this ministry that I'm doing, or I thought you would fill in the blank. And we read these things as external expectations. And so I'm wondering how you would help us to think through when well-meaning, loving people in our churches say things where it's clear they have expectations of us.
Sure. Well, I think, first of all, we have to understand and keep a mindset that just like a normal church member, we're going to disappoint somebody. That's just all there is to it. Don't think that You're not. So somebody's going to be disappointed. I remember we had not been at High Point very long, went out to dinner with a family, and just had a really, really sweet time. And several months later, this woman came to me and she was disappointed because she expected me to disciple her. And she, I mean, I missed that memo. I totally, totally.
I know. I'm like, did she ask you? I don't know.
I'm not really sure. I would say no, but she said yes. And so okay. It was a great lesson for me to think, okay, she has unmet expectations, and people are going to have unmet expectations for us. And we can disciple them in the way we respond and help them think rightly. Right. So in this conversation with this woman, I just said, okay, I'm really sorry. I tried to be humble. I did not hear that. I understand that you're hurt and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't defend myself because honestly, it's not going to do any good.
Yeah.
And I just had to walk away from that and say, we say this a lot in ministry. Somebody is going to throw a dart at us. She threw a dart at me. She was upset. I'm glad she came to me. She could have gone behind my back. That was a win. She may not have hit the bullseye in the middle of that target, but she hit the target somewhere, did she? So I have to sit and think, okay, was I not listening, et cetera, and then help her think rightly. I had to be humble, right? And if we're humble, that's a win. Because pride puts us at odd with the people in our congregation, right? And so when someone comes and says, hey, I would really love for you to do X, Y, and Z, don't respond right away. Just say, you know what? I need to talk to my husband and we need to pray about it and decide if this is a good time or season for me to be involved with that. And if not, help them think through, okay, you know what? This may not be something that I can do, but who are other women in the congregation that can help fill this need? But include your husband, because there have been times I'm like, what? Yes, I would totally love to do that. And I go home and Juan's like, I don't think that's a great idea right now.
Yeah.
And he can see areas that I didn't see.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, pray, speak to your husband, understand people are gonna be disappointed in you and that's okay. And then, you know, at the end of it, you can't be all things to all people. Think back to the kind of the Messiah Savior complex. Yeah. You are one person. You are not like God. We are finite. Know your limitations and disciple your congregation to see you as a normal church member.
Uh-huh. Can you take us back to that conversation with the woman? And you said you discipled her in that moment. You helped her to see. Can you give us the language that you used in response?
Why don't I give you another example?
Okay.
I had another person.
I would love that.
Come up to me and going through a difficult time, met with her during this difficult time. And then my back went out and I was literally flat on my back for 6 months. I had two back surgeries.
Oh, wow.
And she chose after this to come up to me and just say how disappointed in me that she was. And I'm thinking in my mind, are you kidding me? But I didn't say anything. You know, I just stopped and I was like, okay. I said, you know, I appreciate what you're saying. And then I asked some questions. Do you realize that I've been suffering for the last 6 months and have been on my back? And she was like, oh. So I was just asking her questions. And then I said, you know, I disappointed you. I am so sorry. But High Point has how many hundreds of women that would have loved to walk by you during this time. Mm-hmm. And I'm only one person and there's only so much that I can do. And I just helped her see me as a human, finite, needy woman.
Yeah.
And not the pastor's wife.
Yeah.
I am that. I'm married to him, but I don't have a red phone in my bedroom that goes straight to God. You know, I don't, my prayers are not any more special than another woman's.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I mean. Just helping women think rightly about who I am, who my husband is, right? I'm not an elder.
Yeah.
I am not a church leader. So there was a woman that came and said, you know, I really think your husband's recycling sermons. And I was like, whoa, doggy. All right, this is a problem. And I said, well, I'm super sorry you feel that way. I disagree with you. But if this is your concern, I think you need to go to an elder.
That's right.
And not me.
That's right.
You know, so it's just a process of sharpening one another, being humble, praying in the midst of a situation. How do I respond to this church member's disappointment or expectations in a way that is beneficial to the hearer? Scripture talks about that, right? Mm-hmm. How can I speak in a way that helps this woman? I'm thankful that they're willing to come to me, right? They could
yes,
go behind my back.
Right.
This is a win. I want to make that a win, but also to help them think rightly of me. I'm a woman just like you.
Yeah. That's so
good. I'm not
good.
Special.
That's so good. Okay.
And that, but that also opens the door, Christine, for me to be transparent.
Yeah.
Right? So pray for me. That's, you know, it helps. If these women are seeing me normal, just like they are, then that opens the door for me to be transparent in ways that are appropriate,
yeah,
and to build these relationships that help me and help them.
Yeah. So we don't have to receive a comment as a mandate. I think when I was younger, I used to receive that as a mandate to go and to fix it, or to go and tell my husband, or to go and, okay, I got to do that. And of course that's not right. And that's very unhealthy and very overwhelming. But at some point I realized I have to learn how to walk in the disappointment of others. And that was hard for me. That's hard for a lot of women. People pleasing is it's a thing. And so can you help me, or help us, think through how do we talk to ourselves when we've done what you've said, and then we walk away from that conversation and we fully know that we have disappointed that person? How do you walk yourself through that?
So I think that we have to, like I said earlier, we need to look and think, did they hit on that target somewhere, right? So they may not have, and they're going to be disappointed. And the best thing that we can do is humbly apologize. And then I just go back to this over and over again. I've got to discern my heart. I have to do heart surgery. It's a constant, right? And this is freeing, because our church members are doing this together all the time, right? In friendship and life groups, they're disappointing one another. We just happen to be a little more visible. Mm-hmm. So thinking through, why does this bother me so much?
Yeah.
We've got to learn to take criticism, because our husbands need to learn to do it. And we need to help shepherd them in that. And they need to help shepherd us in it. Juan talks about, we need to have thick skin and a soft heart. So when those darts, you know, come, it's like, okay, that's all right. What's going on with you? Why are you disappointed? Is something going on in your life? Are you just lashing out at me? And at the end of the day, what matters to me most is, in the realm of humans, what does my family think about me? What does my husband think about me? And then what does the Lord think about me? So in this disappointed church member, going to the Lord and going, okay, Lord, show me, do I have an area of deficiency? Is there an area that you want to grow me in? Because it's so easy when we're criticized to put up that shield and say, oh no, you're the one in the wrong.
That's right.
You're the one in the wrong.
Yeah.
And God uses other people to sharpen us. And it's just part of this process to just settle in and let the Lord do that work, and asking Him what He sees in areas in your life that you need to grow? What are your areas that you're deficient in? And ultimately, remember, God is the big one and the people are the small ones. And Satan wants us to be burdened with what other people think about us because it cripples us.
Yeah.
We're not going to go out there and take a risk of inviting that person to coffee, whether you want to help them or whether you want to just develop a relationship or a friendship, because, oh my goodness, what if they hurt me?
Yeah.
What if they say something about me? Well, that's what Satan wants you to think, because he wants to cripple you. He doesn't care how he cripples you. He just wants you to be ineffective as a believer. I also think that the book when people are big and God is small is really, really helpful, remembering that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? The Lord delights in those who fear him. So always thinking, okay, Lord, what do you think about me? What do you think about how I handled this situation? And then just praying. We have to have a heart attitude of prayer. You know, how do you want me to change? How do you want me to view this person? Is this person now the one you avoid when you go to church? Right?
I've done that.
Oh, sometimes I just don't even want to be with people on a Sunday. Yeah. Once again, right? Like, how do I honor the Lord in my heart posture for people who I view rightly or wrongly as my enemy?
Right.
Air quotes here.
Yeah.
Enemy. Right? We, in our last church, it just wasn't pretty towards the end. And there was a family who was truly against us. They were persecuting us. And I remember she was the 2-year-old Sunday school teacher, and I had to drop my 2-year-old off with her every single week. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to handle this?
Yeah.
Well, there's a verse for that. I was going to heap burning coals of kindness over her head because my hands, I just wanted my hands to be clean in front of the Lord in this situation. I would hand over sweet Gabrielle and be like, hey, how are y'all doing this morning? Was there pride in that sometimes? Yes. I'm like, you are not going to get the best of me. Of course, the Lord helped me discern my heart and realize, well, that's not really what I was talking about. I'm like, okay. So just having that heart posture of prayer and humility and all of that.
That's great.
And I think we have to remember that all of this, every response I have, every thought I have, every conversation as I'm helping to helping our congregation to think rightly, it comes out of an overflow of my time with the Lord. You know, I can do this a little bit on my own, right? I can work really hard to have that right response. I can work really hard to serve. But after a while, my heart starts getting weary, and then I don't think rightly. And then I start getting embittered towards the body.
Yeah.
And really, if I'm undergirding all of this with time in the Word and prayer, it's a much sweeter experience.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we're trying to shepherd women in the congregation to do. And we have to do that. Listen, I know it's a sacrifice. I get it. I had 5 kids. My husband worked full time and he's always served, and he was getting, I mean, we married in college. So he was getting his bachelor's, and then he got his MDiv and his THM and his PhD, and like barely had a day off. Listen, I get how busy people are, but once I really got it, it wasn't too late, but it was later in my walk with the Lord that I just had to get up before everybody else. And I had to spend that time in the Word. I still have to do it now. Yeah. That's what I have to do. That 30 minutes changed my life.
Yeah.
It just changed my life, and it's a sacrifice. It is, but it's just worth it.
Yeah, That is exactly my story. And I would say absolutely me too. That's been the most important thing for me in my life. And so I look at you, Janine, and you're, you know, a few steps ahead of me. You have grown children, grandchildren. And I think I've grown a lot as a Christian and as a pastor's wife in the 23 years I've been married. And I wonder, you know, and I'm still learning and growing. So I wonder where you are in your stage of life. What are you still growing or seeing the need for growth in, and how are you pursuing that in the stage that you're in?
I am just coming out of a season of caring for a daughter with autoimmune disease. We have three girls. Three of our five have autoimmune wow. diseases. I know it's been a whole lot. So yeah. For the last 8 years, I have been caring for one particularly needy daughter. And so in that season, you know, I had to pull away because I couldn't be as consistent coming on Sunday mornings because I was home with her. She's in and out of the hospital. I mean, it wow. was a whole lot. It was a good thing, allowed the church to minister to us. But now the girls are at college. She's at college. And I'm in this new season. And instead of sitting in that, Juan and I are talking about, okay, Lord, how do you want to use us now? And we need to be looking at those different seasons of our life and going, okay, even when I was home more with Maxie and I couldn't go meet people, I had to think about, Lord, how can you use me? Yeah. Having people coming to me to have coffee or to help them. So I think just we're really talking together about how the Lord wants to use us, how he wants to stretch us, being willing to be stretched and doing things outside of our comfort zone is really important. Looking at different areas of ministry since, you know, now I'm an empty nester, thinking I can minister to other empty nesters in a way that I haven't been able to before. And just, you know, just redeeming the time, mm-hmm. no matter what phase of life we're in, how can I serve my husband first? I still have all these wonderful daughters and now sons-in-law and grandkids to serve, but that can't take away from the church. Mm-hmm. I still need to be pouring into, women in the church. And then I think too, letting other women pour into me. You've had a great podcast on friendships in the church. That's important. So ladies, go back and listen to that podcast. I think it's important for us to have friends in the church and friends outside the church, and for them to be able to see some of those nooks and crannies that we think are not safe for us to share with other women. And I'm not talking about my husband. My husband's off limits. I may talk to my mother about my husband, right? My best friend works at the church, yeah. both of them yeah. here in Austin. And I'm like, okay, she's a church member. That's her pastor.
Yeah.
She goes to another church, but that's her boss, right? So, but they're still my best friends, and I can share with them the areas that I'm really battling with, and they can pray with me and they can say those hard things. And developing those friendships where I'm not afraid of being hurt. Hmm. Yeah. That's so, those are just ways that I'm trying to grow. And I think too, like being in the Word we talked about, but reading some other books. My husband's always coming to me with like a plethora of books. Hey, you need to read this. You need to read this. And so part of my devotional time is spent, it may be 5 minutes, but if you read 5 minutes a day in a book that helps you see yourself more clearly through Scripture more clearly, as well as being in the Word, that will give you just a well-rounded growth plan. So those are just some things that I'm doing.
Yeah. I love that. I've loved this conversation. Thank you so much for sharing with us this hard-won wisdom. It's so helpful. I've enjoyed it. Thank you, Janine, for joining me.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Ladies, if you are a woman who leads in ministry, whether you're on staff or in a volunteer capacity, I would love to invite you to join me for the first National Women's Evangelism Conference in Alpharetta, Georgia on April 8th and 9th next year. I know this event will encourage and equip you to create a culture of evangelism in your ministry. Register today and make plans to join us. Visit namevangelism.com/women-conference or visit the link in the show notes for all the details. Can't wait to see you there.